And councillors, you'll find on page 81 of the agenda, we're dealing with an amendment to the Cove Youth Service operational option. Now, I'll be guided by staff here, but as I understand it, the amendment is simply because at the time the motion was carried, it wasn't contemplated that a move might be to other than the Sturt Road Administration Building. But circumstances really have changed, and so it's acceptable, as I understand it from governance, to amend the motion to take account of that reality. But the intention was not to change anything else substantially, but of course there was also a time frame in the initial motion. That motion that was resolved on 23rd of June talked about workshops being initiated in the next 3 months. Now, I'm not sure that they were, but be that as it may, the change of timing is also reflected by saying we'll be initiated by the end of October. And that is in light of the fact that at a forum, members have been advised by staff that they are cranking up some workshops to be held imminently. And otherwise, the recommendation after the workshops coming back to council by 1st of December remains the same as it was back in June. So the intention is to allow flexibility as to the relocation of staff and the timing of workshops to some extent, but not as to the bringing back of the report, which is still to occur on 1st of December. So I've just said all of that by way of clarification. Is there any question, or there's a motion? Councillor Westwood.
I just want to clarify first. The amendment actually omits a new name that was basically given to that unit, being the City of Marion Youth Service, and also I think that we should stick to the principle, the idea of having that unit operating in a centralised office, which I think was the spirit of that amendment, the motion previously. And I'm willing to move that.
Councillor Westwood, that's well picked up. So where it says staff, if after that, and I'm talking about reflecting the original 23rd of June motion, after the word staff, if it says of the new City of Marion Youth Service.
Mayor, before you do, if I may,
yes.
I actually may have in error sent a script to Kate McKenzie. So her email's not available.
Here today, and I'm not sure that her email's available.
Right, okay.
If it was today, we wouldn't have it.
I did actually send it today. But anyway, I'm happy for you to reword it if you can think on the spot.
Councillor Westwood, it's certainly your motion, but you did raise a good point about the name of the service. That wasn't in the amendment recommended by staff, but it should be, because there was no intention to change that aspect of the motion that was resolved.
Should
cover your point, but you just have a look at that.
That sounds all right, yes. Council office space. Yes, I believe that sounds okay. Thank you. I'm happy with those words.
Okay. Very well, then I accept
I'll move
motion.
That.
I'll just check, is that seconded?
Do you want that to be moved? Or
we certainly do. I'm just going to, before you speak, is that seconded? Seconded, Councillor Crossland. Councillor Westwood, did you wish to speak to the motion?
Well, I think I've just about said it, but just for the record. the unit has been renamed, basically, by virtue of that earlier motion. And we're carrying that on. So it's the City of Marion Youth Service. So that in actual fact, describes in its name the new function of that unit. So I'm very pleased with that. and also we want to ensure that it is functioning from a central office and not some peripheral office. Thank you.
Yes, I suppose by way of an acronym, the City of Marion Youth Service will be known as the Commies. That's fine. Councillor Crossan.
It's just a question for staff, if I may, just to clarify, if we do specify centrally located office space, is that going to make it difficult if, say, for a week, the youth service wants to base itself at, say, Hallett Cove Library and then another time somewhere in the north? Would that still be in the spirit of this motion?
I think we're talking about a new base. That's how I would interpret it.
And that's just what I want to clarify, that we don't stop them, saying working at a location for a week and then maybe move to another location because of what they've got.
I must say I don't read it that way. The comment from staff? Mr. Scott?
Through the Mayor, the intention of this is just for them to be based with the rest of the community services team, and which will be at the City New City Services Depot, so simple as that. They can work out of any other place, depending on what they're doing.
Thank you very much.
Anything further, Councillor Crossland?
No, that's great. Thank you.
Is there anyone speaking against the motion? No? Well, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we turn to page 82 of the agenda. There was a request for a deputation by Mr. Phil Bruning, planner. I did respond to Mr. Bruning saying that we had ample material, including from his firm at PBA, and we had been adequately briefed by staff, but I did say that it would be appropriate for him to be available to answer any questions. So I would invite Mr. Bruning to come forward to the front, and before we deal with the motion, see if any councillors... I know a couple of things have been raised in discussions and emails in the last week or two, so this is an opportunity to ask Mr. Bruning about any of that. So I've got Mr. Phil Bruning, and with him Mr. Nick Drummond from the development company concerned. So, did members, in fact, have some questions? Councillor Crossland?
Yeah, I have a couple of concerns. Obviously, we had the opportunity to have a presentation from you in a forum surrounding, and that forum I made you aware that, obviously, that development is obviously... something which I'm sure residents would want, and I would support the new development in that area. My main concern is around the fact that the parcel of land currently under the control of Marion Council would be developed in isolation of a plan where the Onkaparinga parcel of land would be developed at a later date. So that's the first thing. The reason for that is because as a whole, I believe that master planning could be a much more livable space. The overall amount of land available if those two parcels were joined together would mean that we could look at better recreational space, just general livability of the whole area, and also the connectivity back to Sigma Road rather than funneling all the traffic through Burlington Road just by ease of design, because the main parcel of land around Sigma Road is owned by Onkaparinga. I'll probably let you answer that question first before I, with leave of the Chair, ask the second question.
Mr. Bruning?
Certainly, happy to do that. Thank you, Councillor. I might deal with the second part of your question first, and that is in relation to the interconnection between the two parcels, more particularly the road network, the arrangement and the path of traffic. I think it's important to note that the land to the south of Sigma Road is effectively a large-scale industrial commercial area. And so the desirability of mixing, I guess, two modes of traffic or two types of traffic is probably not so desirable. Whereas if the residential traffic, passenger vehicles, was to be directed to the existing road network, and I guess the technical advice we've received from our traffic engineers is that is within the design capability of those roads, would be a far preferable outcome than, I guess, potentially allowing interconnection or through traffic from Sigma Road into the residential area. So I think whilst the two parcels may well be developed in stages, sequential stages, they would be integrated, I guess, into an overall layout and concept which is conducive to orderly and proper development. Now, in respect to the first component of your question referencing public open space, at this stage, what the council is being asked to consider is whether or not to embark upon a process which investigates the appropriateness of rezoning this land for residential purposes. In so doing, there is an opportunity to undertake investigations as to the need for public open space, additional public open space in this locality, over and above that which currently exists, and the more general provision within the suburb of Hallett Cove, which I understand is in excess of the statutory minimum, which is 12.5%. Now, these are policies that will be expressed in the development plan. The concept that we've presented today is exactly that. It's a concept for discussion purposes to try and communicate the various concepts and ideas. But by no means that is the plan that the council is committing itself to. So if there is a desire for a particular location or configuration or types of facilities to be provided in public open space, there's an opportunity to communicate those expectations within the policy framework which will be developed as a result of the development plan amendment process. So I guess by making a decision tonight to proceed, to initiate that development plan amendment, you're not committing yourself to a particular design outcome, but rather a process by which you can investigate and arrive at suitable policies.
Yes, thank you for that. I understand what you're saying, and I know the master plan or the designs that are being proposed are just that. There's nothing actually locked in. Where I'm looking at is if it's staged, then the people buying in the first stage will be totally unaware of what's going to happen over the other side of the fence. Is it going to be industrial and all the problems that will bring to Marion Council for possibility of complaints there? So that's going to be the livability of that area is in question, and it will be an unknown until you actually get the approval from Onkaparinga to rezone. The other issue is that although there is open space in Hallett Cove, that particular section of Hallett Cove has no open space that you can actually use for a recreational purpose. And again, the obvious place for having an oval or somewhere we can kick a footy, whether it be round or a funny shape, it would be on flat land. Well, we've got plenty of land to kick a footy off cliffs. That's not really conducive to the game. It doesn't last very long. So by actually looking at this area as a whole, I believe we've got a real opportunity to actually develop a real active community space. Individually, I believe it's going to be really a bit of a guessing game, and we're not going to get the best outcome for residents. I'm not saying that I'm looking for a whole 12.5% of that site, far be it, but there are areas where you can have access to a reserve and car parking, which is not going to influence the residents existing and residents new. So I would like really an indication of, is there a real reason why we can't actually just wait a little bit longer and do this as part of a collective package with Onkaparinga?
It's a rather complex question to respond to, but I'll endeavour to do so in the following manner. The coordination of two local government entities to a single body of work is quite complex. And invariably, what tends to happen in such situations is there's, by agreement, a request for the minister to undertake that coordinating role. Now, the alternative approach is, similar to that which you've participated in the City of Holbus Bay, the development at Seaford. So that's one way of doing it. But as you've probably possibly experienced, that has been a rather complex and arduous task. It also begs the question that both the local government entities assign the project the same priority, that they have a similar interest in mind, And I'd suggest that might not necessarily be the case in respect of the land within the Onkaparinga Council area, which is still
testing.
A very fundamental decision that they need to
testing.
Make whether or not it's appropriate to relinquish this land, which is currently zoned for industrial purposes, for residential purposes. So they're undertaking a more strategic review of industrial land supply and demand within
testing.
The council area. And they're nowhere near as advanced, if you like, as the city of Marion is in many respects. and so there's a very real prospect, and the practicality is that if we were to wait for that industrial land supply to occur, analysis to occur, the more recent advice is it's likely to be in the order of a year for that to be made available. Now, I'm not suggesting that if there's an adverse finding in that, it doesn't then stop us from proceeding, because we, as the concept has communicated, there is an ability to provide a buffer between the two parcels of land, such as one doesn't unnecessarily influence the other. In long story short, I think there is a logical and practical sequence that might be observed, with the City of Marion proceeding first, given that the land is effectively contiguous with existing residential development. And then, if in the fullness of time, the City of Onkaparinga is of the mind to relinquish the land, which is currently designed for industrial purposes, and give it over to residential, then seamlessly the concept can be developed further to the south. But if that is not to occur, it's not to say that stage one will not operate, I guess, in a suitable manner by itself. So, if you like, the first is not dependent on the second. Now, in terms of communicating intentions and giving confidence to purchasers, I guess, in much the same way as more recently you have done along Burlington Road, there's a very clear statement that land is still under consideration, and people will make an informed decision as to whether or not they proceed with their purchase or not, as the case may be. So I don't think it's necessarily being devious or withholding information unnecessarily. It's really saying that the southern portion is the subject of another process to be observed over time.
Yes, just as through the chair, the other representative of Coastal Ward, I guess I wouldn't be doing my job if I weren't to prompt any developer on considerations of any commercial, very light commercial support for a new area. Hallett Cove is very void of this, other than the wonderful Hallett Cove Centre, shopping centre, Marion Marina, rather, is completely devoid, but that is too far away to consider. State government certainly is promoting integration of small shopping with residential, and I guess in our planning as a council we should consider it as well, or at least not ignore it.
And in response through the chair, and certainly that option may continue to be pursued as part of those investigations and the policy framework to provide that flexibility should there be a business case for it. The policy wouldn't preclude that from occurring.
Great. Thank you.
Yes, so the motion that probably best suits your intention, Councillor Crossland, is that the matter be adjourned until discussions have taken place with the City of Onkaparinga about the development of the southern part of the subject area. Would you wish to speak further to that?
No, just the reason for the motion. Look, I accept everything the gentlemen have said, and I thank them for coming along. I just think that we have the opportunity here to have a great development rather than an average development, and I also think we've got the opportunity to actually provide some open space that is really lacking in that area of Hallett Cove, not just for the new areas that are being developed, but for the large number of residents all the way through that development. And I think as a whole, I think there's a real opportunity here which will be lost forever if we actually don't make some hard decisions.
Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor? Do you wish to speak, Councillor Pryor? Others wish to speak to the motion? Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion for deferral, for adjournment. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? Well, that's carried unanimously. Staff will no doubt get onto that as quickly as possible to bring some definition to the future of the project. We move on to page 120 of the agenda. This is another one where we've been well briefed. Submission referred to in the drafted motion is essentially in favour, but with a couple of problematic areas which have been identified by staff. Looking for someone to move. Councillor Telfer?
I'll move that for the recommendation and obviously the note to Appendix 1.
Do you wish to speak further? Is that seconded? Councillor Hutchinson, did you wish to speak to that? Anyone speaking against? Councillor Hull, question? I'd invite Mr. Hooper to come up to the front and address that question. I think that you would find that Tonsley is not one of the existing activity centres. That's the subject of the policy review. But Mr. Hooper, can you help Councillor Hull with that?
I missed the first three or four words. Could you repeat that?
Well, it may well be that I'm on the wrong track with this, but I'll ask the question anyway. In terms of bulky goods, there's bulky goods mentioned in this report. I'm looking at it now on page 123. But is there any opportunity for the council to raise concern about the consent use for bulky goods in the Tonsley precinct?
Through the chair, yes, that is contained in the correspondence. The actual correspondence has a paragraph which is raising concern. Within the suburban activity node zone, currently bulky goods and retail showrooms are non-compliant, and this development plan amendment is proposing making them consent. We have spoken to Renewal SA, their position and my recommendation to you is that if you endorse the correspondence that is an attachment to this report, that it actually does raise those concerns.
Councillor Hull, I apologise to you if I was misleading, and I see that your concerns are addressed in the submission. So now, sorry, just to clarify, you wish to speak to the motion, that's fair enough. You're considering an amendment, but I just want to be, can we be really clear about your concerns, because as I understand it from Mr. Hooper's answer, your concerns are addressed in what we're already doing. Yeah, well, if you can be really clear about what you want to achieve, Mr. Hoop can just check that is the case or not. So what is it that's really your intention? No, but Councillor Holt, what is your planning concern about bulky goods that you raise?
Oh, well, it's a white flag. It's actually us actually indicating support to a white flag for the Tonsley project.
Sorry, may I clarify, Councillor Holt? Your concern about a change which would allow bulky goods to go within Tonsley, correct?
Yep.
The proposal that came to us would have allowed that, but in our submission, in fact drafted by Mr. Hoover to his credit, he has identified that as a problem and suggested deletion of that permission for bulky goods in Tonsley.
Yep. Okay. So, well, if that's the case, then I'm happy that that's been done.
Mr. Hooper, any further?
No, that is correct. On page 123 of the report, and the submission is being coordinated in consultation with Renewal SA, who are also putting in a submission to the same effect. So both if Council endorses this, Council and Renewal SA will be on the same page in terms of opposing making bulk goods consent use.
If I may.
Thank you.
Yeah, just on that very point, I'm glad it's in there because if we actually go along with this, we'll actually have a proliferation of Harvey Normans and whatever else in there, and that's not what Tonsley was all about. And it actually does raise some concern with me, Mr. Mayor, that the Minister at the time, when I met with him, Minister Kotsitonis, approached me and said, Bruce, we've got to keep the libs out of this place. All they want to do is put bulky goods in here. Well, hello. Hello, Mr. Minister. What's going on? This is not a good sign, members, for Tonsley, I've got to tell you. It shows that the Tonsley project may well be struggling, and we should not be going along with this because once those bulky white goods are built and they're big structures, they're there for good. And it limits anything else that might happen in there. We should tough it out, support the state government in their endeavours with Tonsley, but if we actually allow this sort of abhorrent development to happen in Tonsley, it'll actually drop the game. It'll drop the game, Mr. Mayor, and that's not something that we should be supporting. And we would like to see the government stay focused on Tonsley and stick to the script. That's what we should be saying to the government.
We have on page 123 the letter that's going to the Minister. It is quite clear about what we are requiring. It is quite clear that we don't want bulky goods at Tonsley. And we also look forward to the tightening up and the tidying up of many other zones throughout our city.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Councillor Westwood.
A clarification, actually. I'm sorry if I'm asleep or
no, please
quite
do.
Understand this. So we don't want, the zone for Tonsley project in particular is the suburban activity neighbourhood zone. Would that be correct,
Mr. Hooper?
Or not?
Through the Chair, there's two zones that apply to Tonsley. There's one zone that applies to the main assembly building, which I think is a mixed-use zone from memory, and then there's the suburban activity neighbourhood zone. So this is the zone that actually has the retail component of Tonsley.
Sorry, which one? The suburban
activity neighbourhood zone is that part of Tonsley which includes all the shops.
Currently?
Correct.
Oh, right. Okay, that's fine. That's all I need. Thank you.
Okay. Any other takers? Then I'll put... I don't think there's a need for a right of reply. Oh, you did? Did you? Oh, okay. That's right. I'm distracted because of the matters I'll just bring to your attention. I put the motion. All those in favour, all those against, it's carried unanimously. Now, members, I'm just very conscious that we have about half a dozen controversial matters yet to discuss. We've got half an hour left in the meeting. I'm somewhat guided by members, but I know that we have people in the gallery, and thank you for coming, Mr. Virgo, manager of the Club Marion, and Mr. Gray, the chairperson, who probably have an interest in the poker machine motion. Now, I'm inclined to bring that motion on straight away. Our alternative would be to say, we're not going to deal with it. Good night, gentlemen. We'll come back next time. But I'm looking for an indication from members. Okay, bring it on now. Okay. So with the leave of the meeting, we'll go to the item on page 235 of the agenda. That's Councillor Hole's motion in relation to poker machines, etc. Are you ready to go with that, Councillor Hull? So please proceed.
I've been ready for years, Mr. Mayor, on this one. It's enough of the mucking around on this. We need to have the discussion. And the motion is that we call for a report. We call for a report to be presented to the February 2016 General Council meeting to consider a policy position, that all City of Marin community facilities are poker machine free. This report include potential options and strategies for clubs that are currently operating with poker machines to assist in this transition. Mr. Mayor, I have been long concerned about, and in fact I've had a sense of guilt for years that I've been part of an organisation that actually is a landlord of venues for poker machines. In fact, if the premises across the road was to get into financial difficulties tomorrow, we would be the proud owner of, I don't know how many poker machines, for disposal. I have been troubled by that. You know, you can have your view about poker machines in society, and indeed many people do, and politicians have. Politicians have been elected on the basis of poker machines. But when it comes to your own buildings, that's where I think that we do have a role. Now, you know, I'm not setting out to make life hard for clubs, unlike the suggestion in the Messenger Press, where I'm suggesting that, you know, we all bake lemmings for fundraising. I'm calling for a report to advise us about strategies where we can wean those clubs off poker machines. There has been clubs in the city that have actually already weaned themselves off. Edwardstown Bowling Club, I understand. I understand that there's been discussions at Marion RSL along the same lines. We should be in the business of assisting those clubs live up to the social conscience that their membership expect. Members, we are not alone in Adelaide raising concern about poker machines. For example, the city of Charles Sturt is currently raising concerns about poker machines in their area. And I'll read an extract from the submission put forward to the state government by Bruce Williams, the general manager of city services up there. In developing its mission, council will consider the potential positive and negative effects of the proposal, including any economic and social impacts in advocating for the interest, needs and well-being of our community. Council recognises in particular the potential negative impacts that problem gambling can have on individuals, families and the community at large, and that this impact is made worse for households who are already struggling with the cost of living in other and other difficulties. Now, we're not alone in Adelaide. Members, in Victoria, the Municipal Association of Victoria, the equivalent of the LGA over there, is also saying similar things. this is not some wild card maverick councillor raising concern about poker machines. This is a very real issue. Now, the Municipal Associations of Victoria has made submissions to the government about their concerns about the social economic disadvantaged communities, in particular of concern to councils. There's a litany of evidence to suggest that local government should have an interest in local government in poker machines. As landlords, we've got control of this. All I'm saying in this is to call for a report to advise us appropriately of strategies to go about this appropriately. Now, members, you would be realise that I had an alternative motion that I changed. I was quite happy to do that. This is a more considered motion. This actually is only giving us advice. There's no decisions made in here. And really, I think we should be weaning council off its dependence on poker machine money to fund community facilities.
I move that the matter be adjourned to permit prior deputations from the Marion RSL and the Marion Sports and Community Club on the next council meeting, the October the 27th.
Just check that administration. You have that written. Thank you very much. I'm greatly appreciative of councillors who have amendments and or procedural motions and write them down for staff. It makes it easier for all of us. Now, is that motion to adjourn seconded? So I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour, all those against, that's carried by majority. So the matter will be adjourned to the next council meeting, and an opportunity will be given to the two clubs mentioned.
May other entities be invited as well?
There's nothing to stop that. Nothing to stop that.
Right, thank you.
It's not a limit, it's just a minimum in terms of deputations. Right, so now we resume where we were in the agenda. Mr. Virgo and Mr. Gray, I hope you've found the evening of live theatre entertaining, at least in parts. You're free to go if you wish to, and I think you're also welcome to stay on to the end. Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I wish to change the order of business. I wish to move the elected member representation, deputy mayor, DAP committee members forward to this point in time.
I don't know that we need a motion as such. I'll take that as a suggestion, and I'll go that way with the leave of the meeting. But I'll ask if there are any objections. If there are no objections, then we will deal with that item of business next. Very well. Sorry, Councillor Westwood.
I'd like to move that the elections be postponed until our next council meeting.
One troubling thing is that there are two elected members absent. Is that the essence of it?
That's exactly right.
So, look, it's a procedural motion that this item be adjourned to the next meeting. Is that seconded? No. The time sensitivity will be... it will need to be done at the next meeting, I think. It's the current appointments. Thank you, Ms. Jarrett. I'm advised the current appointments last until the end of November, so we have actually got a couple of meetings up our sleeve, and that answers the question. Is the motion to adjourn seconded? Seconded, Councillor Hull. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? The motion is lost. We proceed with the motion. So I'm looking for someone, just clarifying, I'll just get to the right page in the agenda, that would help. But we need to fill in the blanks. So in order to prepare ourselves for the motions that need to be moved, we need to take nominations from the floor and, if necessary, conduct a ballot. What I propose to do is undertake this procedure in the following order. The position of Deputy Mayor, obviously from November to November, then committee membership, and then committee chairs, and then the DAP. And I hope members will see there's a certain logic to that. The other thing I would say is that if there is more than one nomination, or rather if there are more nominees than vacancies in any case, I propose that people nominating have 1 minute to address us. The fact is, people might want 10 minutes, but the fact is that we've all got to know each other over the past 10 or 11 months, and that will probably be what's going to determine the vote. So if you want 1 minute to give us some highlights, and that should be enough for the messenger, and we can just get on and vote. So if there's no objection to that, we can proceed. Councillor Appleby?
Question whether we're permitting nominations from people who aren't here, because some people have previously expressed interest in some of those positions.
People who have expressed interest beforehand in writing, I will accept those nominations. I think it's the only fair thing to do. I mean, there is no proxy voting process, but I don't see a problem with someone here nominating someone who is not here. So I hope that answers that question. We can proceed. So first of all, do I have any nominations for the position of Deputy Mayor? Just put your hand up if you do. Councillor Telfer, you are nominating. You need to name who you're nominating. You're nominating yourself. Councillor Hull, you're nominating yourself. Councillor Valescu, you're nominating yourself. Is anyone nominating any other person? That's quite a serious question. Councillor Crossland is nominating Councillor Byram, and that's in order. So we have four nominees. There will be a ballot. I understand people have already been issued with some ballot papers. I've got some somewhere. I'll just take it in that clockwise order in terms of those who wish to have 1 minute to address us as to their candidacy. So, Councillor Telfer, I call on you.
I have had one term as Deputy Mayor in my prior council, and I would continue to run a steady ship, quiet ship, hold the position until the Mayor returned as such. I would also work behind the scenes so that there is coherence throughout the Council. And so I would enjoy being the Deputy Mayor under these circumstances, and I believe that I can work with all of you.
Thank you. Councillor Hull.
Do it at least once, either this year or next year, not so much the year after. I don't see that as a strategical manoeuvre. I won't be doing deals. I haven't done deals with anybody because that didn't work out well last council term. I'm going to struggle to keep up the reputation of the mayor. I don't think I can compete at all. I don't think that I could actually take up the issues as well as Chris does on regular occasions, and so I'm sort of left behind in that area. So there's an old saying in show business: never replace yourself with somebody that might be better than yourself. And I don't think I can match it with Mr. Hanna. So there's no problem there.
Shouldn't be reflecting on other members, even the mayor. Councillor, but I take it in good spirit. Councillor Valescu.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm very happy to be part of an election where there are other capable candidates. I'm happy to be part of an election where there's, people are comfortable with everybody running. And regardless of the outcome, I feel that there will be a respectful relationship at the end of it, whoever may be in this position. I think this council has been the best one I've been on. I think we have been a united team. What gets the news, perhaps maybe some of those little things where we do have a difference of opinion. What I feel I bring to the position is some of the continuity. I've been involved with the council continuously now for 9 years. I haven't sought this position before. I feel I have a lot to contribute as far as trying to have even-handedness in the chairing of the meetings, trying to involve people, try to have relationships with all elected members, and I feel it's important that we look at building those relationships. The most important thing I think that our council needs to do is relationships within our council and outside of our council. I'm willing to say my piece, but I believe that the loyalty towards the team view, is highly important. I've also made, I've spoken to my employer to have the option of purchase leave. They've approved that. So if I was in that position, I do have the ability to do some of those daytime things, as well as balancing my work-life commitments.
So there'll be a lot of weekends. Your time has expired.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know if that was.
Yeah, that was
sorry.
Actually it went.
So, well, there you go. Don't vote for me. It's going to go over time.
No, look, I was rapt. Didn't notice the time at all. Look, it's unfortunate that Councillor Byram is absent, but I can say from my own knowledge that there's nothing sinister about this. It just came up on this particular agenda, and it's unfortunate we have a couple absent, but it was tested, and I'm glad actually Councillor Westwood moved that motion because it's been tested on the floor and it was decided to proceed tonight. And I can understand that because people have sort of geared up for it emotionally and people want the matter resolved. So we'll proceed to a ballot. The ballot is in the form of, or is likened to the local government election, so there needs to be a number put for at least the number of vacancies. There is only one vacancy, so therefore you only need to put one vote, but you may put as many as you wish, from 1 to 4. What I would suggest in terms of voting for to keep it as anonymous as possible is just to put the initials of the person you want to vote for, so whether it be RT, BH, JB, JV. I mean, that's what I would suggest, that everyone just follow the same procedure, but anything along those lines will be acceptable. Two of our staff will count, and then we'll simply be told the final result. Please make your votes, and they'll be collected. There should actually be a box, quite frankly, but anyway.
Well, Yogesh, I would like to move an extension of time. I think possibly the outcome of the deputy mayor selection could influence who may or may not nominate for the chair positions, and then it will allow us extra time to look at some of the other items as well.
Yes, I'll accept the motion to extend the meeting time.
Till 10:30, Your Worship.
Till 10:30, is that seconded? Seconded Councillor Pfeiffer, all those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. So we've got a bit of time to spare. Sorry, members, I'm just pausing because we're getting close to a result and I'm just weighing up, is it worth procedural motions to go to something else and come back or not? No. We'll just be calm for a minute. Maybe someone could burn some incense or something. Rustle the wind chimes. I can advise members in the interim that of the remaining items, the only one that's truly time sensitive is the submission on decriminalisation of sex work that one of the legislative councillors has asked about. So that's the only one with a deadline that comes up before the next meeting, more or less. So after this, that's what we'll go to. Councillor Westwood, you had a question? Well, I've been talking about sex work. What more do you want? Councillor Pryor?
Given there's no Deputy Mayor candidates on the Urban Planning Committee, we can proceed with that one if you'd like.
Nice one.
In order to save some time. And incidentally, I'd like to nominate.
So, on the planning committee, it is true, there are no deputy mayor candidates. So, look, I'll take nominations for the chair of the planning, urban planning committee. I have one nomination. Are there other nominations? Councillor Hull, do you have a nomination? You're just reaching for something. Very well, but if there is only one nomination, then Councillor Pryor is elected chair of the planning committee for the 12-month period specified in the motion. Well, it's not voted on. But I think. All right. Well, we're going to, councillors, I think we're going to move on block, aren't we? Once we have all of the names filled into the spaces. Not much can happen between now and then, Councillor Pryor, but you're looking good for the spot. Did you say Senate paper? Tabletop ballot paper. By the way, the mayor's bicycle jump at the opening of the skate park is now on YouTube. Just search for Oakland's Recreation Plaza. I think you should find it there. Daredevil Mayor hashtag, I think it is. Oh, they have an outcome. We have an outcome. So, just give me a name, somebody. Councillor Vlescu is elected Deputy Mayor. So, well done. Now, we can proceed. So I'm looking, well, let's go to the Strategy Committee. Is there a nomination for Chair? Councillor Westwood?
You do it as well. There's no...
There's no impediment to the Deputy Mayor chairing a committee?
Clarify, there's no extra chairing fee or
there's no additional fee.
Well, I was nominating...
Councillor Westwood was nominating Councillor Blescu, and that's...
Oh.
The nomination's accepted. Is there any other nomination or to... Rather, well, it doesn't matter who else is on the field. If yeah, they're done. We've done all of that. We did all of that while you were... Yep, all of those names are...
I have a question, you worship.
Yes, Councillor Hutchinson.
Yeah, look, my question is just in relation to that. If the sitting fee for a chair of a standing committee is 1.25 times the councillor fee, is that not an additional payment in addition to...
I'll ask Ms. Jarrett to answer that query.
Thank you, through the Chair. My understanding that if the deputy or the deputy mayor, who is already receiving the additional allowance, if the deputy mayor is a chair of a standing committee, there is no additional allowance as that chair of the standing committee to be paid. There's no double payment of the 1.25 allowance.
I haven't got the Act in front of me, so I think we'll accept that advice.
Is that advice from the Act or from the terms of reference?
The Remuneration Tribunal.
Right, Councillor Hutchinson's not arguing with the Remuneration Tribunal, so we can move on. Look, I only have one nomination at this point then, being Councillor Blescu for the Strategy Committee, so we'll put his name into the mix for our block motion. Looking at infrastructure now, Councillors Kerry, Pfeiffer and Byram, and I think Councillor Byram... nominate? Yeah. I think she did express an interest, didn't she? Yes. So I have a nomination from Councillor for Councillor Byram. Is there any other nomination? No. Then Councillor Byram will be in the motion to chair the Infrastructure Committee. People and Culture Committee, Councillors Hutchinson, Hull and Telfer. Councillor Hutchinson is nominating for Chair. Councillor Telfer is nominating for Chair. Are there any other nominations? Then there are two, and ballots required. There's one position, therefore you can vote for one or two. Again, I would invite you to just put a initials, so either... RT or LH, as the case may be. We've got something more approximate to a ballot box now. It's one of the best churches I went to was one of those fundamentalist ones where they actually had a hole at the bottom of the collection. So there's no point putting coins in. You just embarrassed yourself. You had to put notes in. Mention which one. It's what they call a holy collection bag. Look, that'll be a quick one to count to members, so we'll just be patient for a sec. Another one I can tell you about By way of information, is the you might have seen on page 2 of the Advertiser on Monday an article about Marion, in particular the Leisure and Fitness Centre, the YMCA decision to close the spa pool because there was no lifeguard available. The decision was reviewed by a panel of 5 managers at council under a Section 270 review. A draft report indicated that the position of the YMCA would be supported. At that point, a media article appeared. I've written a letter to the editor making it clear that I'm not speaking on behalf of council because there hasn't been a council decision, but I've indicated my personal view that the decision is ridiculous. So apologies if that's taken personally, but I did feel rather strongly about the decision, the decision which is suggested in the draft Section 270 report. I can hear rap language to my left. I think that must be the mayor on YouTube. Oh, different mayor. Councillor Telfer is elected as chair of the People and Culture Committee. And of course, with the Finance and Audit Committee, we have an independent chair, currently Mr. Connor. So now we can proceed to the Development Assessment Panel. I know that Councillor Kerry expressed an interest. Councillor Pryor, you're not nominating at this point. I do make the point that I just recall that a year ago there was a discussion that perhaps over the 4 years of the council term, there would be an opportunity for 3 different councillors each year to be on the DAP. But there's nothing formal about that. It was just a loose discussion. So anyone is free to nominate. Now, at the moment, the names that have been... Well, I'll just leave it open. Certainly we've got Councillor Kerry as a nomination. Going around the table, who else is nominating? Councillor Hutchinson, Councillor Westwood, Councillor Crossland, and was there an Councillor Byram, I believe, did she express an interest? I think she did. No one's objecting to Councillor Crossland nominating her as well? That's the indication I have. So. Let's accept those 4 nominations. There are 3 vacancies, therefore a ballot's required. In this event, members, I'm after 3 sets of initials. You've got LH, NK, JB and IC. We're after 3 names. This will be indeed preferential. Yes, the 4, and it's councillors Hutchinson, Kerry, Byram and Crossland, so it's LHNKJBIC in any order you choose. We're after at least 3, but if you're going to put 3, you might as well put 4, it doesn't make a difference. And I think with that one, that will take a little bit longer to count. So, can I have a motion that we, what is it, calling on us to have Christmas? No? The motion we should go to is the Sex Work Discrimination Bill. Can I have what is the appropriate, I'm looking for guidance from governance as to the appropriate motion. I suppose we've called this matter on, but we haven't, no motion's been moved. So just by leave of the meeting, we can simply go to the sex work bill submission. It's on page 125 of your agenda. Now, I'll leave it open to Councillor Hull.
Then move the recommendation as printed. I do it with some anxiety because I do applaud Michelle Lindsay for attempting to deal with the matter. I applaud Stephanie Key for her previous attempt to do that. Unfortunately, I think we've actually, in terms of legislation, we've gone backwards. As I remember, I supported the last time it came here the recommendation by Stephanie Key. We've seemed to have actually haven't actually moved forward in terms of our thinking with the legislation. Because why wouldn't councils raise concern about endorsing premises within 200 metres of schools and places of worship? Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we raise concern about the resourcing that the managers raised in the report about how we're going to pay for the added responsibility in policing this and approvals and the like? So it's a shame that we're actually going backwards. Legislatively, we're going backwards. And I just hope that our message going back will actually make the legislators reconsider their position. But not ignore it, because it's something that really does need to be dealt with. We are lucky, Mr. Mayor, in this council area, we don't have the same issues as City of Port Adelaide Emperor, for example, with Torrens Road. It's not in our face like some other council areas. To say it doesn't exist in our council area would be naive. Holtfast, they would. They would probably suggest that they don't have this sort of problem. But, you know, it is out there. It's a very real issue in our community. It has to be given consideration to protect the sex workers, to actually make sure that our community is not overly exposed to it, and that our resources within our council is not overly committed to actually police something that state government should be legislating appropriately for in the first place. So that's my take on it, and I hope I have some support for the recommendation as put forward by administration.
In calling for a seconder, I do note that the submission prepared by staff has confined itself carefully to the planning issues and makes no judgment about whether or not the principle underlying the bill should be approved or not. And one may well argue that's not strictly a council concern. But, you know, everyone's got a view on it. But the submission is about how it might affect us from a planning law point of view. So with that, I call for a seconder. Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, I'd like to second that and just echo really what Councillor Hull has said. It is unfortunate that it's worded the way it is. I've researched what's happened in other states. Yeah, it's been tinkered with, but definitely not in the right way. And the way it's been left open is that council would not only be responsible for the planning, but for ensuring that the planning law was being complied with, which is an enforcement role visiting these premises. So wholeheartedly, I'm completely against the way that that has been termed, and it should not be a council staff responsibility.
Look, I think a lot of residents complain about development and lack of follow-up on developments and planning rules. I think they're the big issues we need to actually be visiting more and to add more work for people, more inspections, things like that. without any extra resources from other avenues, I think is not appropriate.
Okay, so we've had two speaking in favour. Councillor Valescu speaking in favour as well.
Yeah.
I just wonder if there's anyone speaking against the motion. Do you want to just finalise your remarks, Councillor Valescu?
Yeah, look, and I think that, you know, there's a whole lot of other issues, but we're just commenting on the planning, and I think that we've got other priorities, and there are premises. We did have one that didn't comply, and there's other things our planning people can be looking out for. So we don't actually, they've got plenty to do already, and I think we need to be inspecting other planning approvals and things like that. So this will make it more difficult, and they're the things that our community's been asking for.
Indeed. We certainly don't want council inspectors getting into the predicament of the undercover police who used to have to visit brothels and be asked to take their clothes off to see that they were bona fide customers, etc. Councillor Garda, do you wish to speak against? Question, please go ahead.
I just wanted to know whether we couldn't soften the introduction, or not soften it, but qualify it by making it clear that this is surely in relation to the planning aspects of the bill.
Well, Councillor Garda, if I take that as a question, yeah. I see that Council, it is proposed, advises the Select Committee that it does not support the bill in its current form, and then it seeks that the committee considers certain things which are only planning related. So I honestly do think that the drafting of this motion does confine matters to the planning issues.
I'm happy to run with it if all members, or if the majority agree with that. I just didn't want there to be unnecessary reaction to what we're doing because people are taking that context.
Well, possibly the simplest thing is to pass it without the amendment. Once you start getting into the amendments, you might be opening a Pandora's box or someone else's box. Councillor Hutchinson, are you just smoothing your hair? Okay. I'll put the motion then. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? It's carried by a majority.
Just a question. In putting this submission, is it possible to draw government's attention to the inconsistency they have towards climate change? For example, this council in Holdfast Bay have been long supporters of having trees down mediums of major roads, and DipTive opposed us every step of the way, yet another government department would say that's a good idea. So it's unhelpful, DipTive having that attitude in terms of climate change, because it is a climate change adaptation implementation to actually provide shade on those heat sinks that run through our city. I just think that the government at times is hypocritical in terms of its approach to climate change.
Well, Councillor Hull, do you wish to A, move an amendment, B, move an adjournment to allow the matter to be further developed, or C, simply make that statement of principle and move on?
Well, if there's some other way to formally convey our concerns to government, then I'm all ears. Is this an opportunity to do that for a single issue? I'm not sure. But even if administration take it on board, that's something that they need to vigorously flag with the, what do they call it, something of the South, the
Resilient South Project.
If that could be done, then that might be a start of addressing the issue.
Mr. Skull, do you think that can be taken on board through that avenue?
Through the mayor, no problem.
Councillor Crossman?
Just another question. I notice we support a lot of things. One in particular, we support the use of electric vehicles. How many electric vehicles have we got?
Mr. Skull?
Through the chair, we have one vehicle that I know of. So just the one. Plus hybrid vehicles.
And I'm not sure if, is that available to put up on the screen, some discussions that took place today? And just for the public record, motions were drafted by staff as a result of the concerns expressed by elected members. Once the motions were drafted, various members raised issues or questions concerning the wording, etc., and a reformulation of the recommended motion has occurred. So we're just putting that up on the screen now. And to which, in fact, I would add, before actually putting it to the floor, where we have the figures under the next to the three dot points, I think it actually fits the intention of the motion. If the words before the dollar signs were up, the words up to were inserted before the dollar signs, because you'll see that paragraph three talks about allocating up to an amount, and that represents the total. Councillor Pryor.
Just a question. The question relates to the use of the term overpass. I'm not 100% sure that's the government's preferred option still. And so I'd like to see if we can replace that with grade separation, which does the same job with perhaps our railroading us one way.
It is a more neutral term.
Can I make a further suggestion?
Yes, I remember being in Parliament, shouldn't tell old war stories, but in an effort to persuade the Minister for Transport at the time, I suggested that it be called the Conlon Grade Separation, because it had a ring to it, but even that didn't elicit further funding. Councillor Hutchinson?
I don't think grade separation means much to the community, and I think we should just call it the Oakland Crossing Solution.
Members, we haven't. No one's moved a motion yet, so we're open. Cheeky. Do you want to know what other members think of it before you move it?
No, I'm sure they'll tell me.
Okay. So what you're suggesting something like the construction of a solution. How did you want to word it exactly?
Undertakes campaign for the Oakland's crossing solution.
Well, what about if you want to do that, then why not say to campaign for the Oakland's crossing to be fixed? Okay. No. All right.
Well, there is a member of parliament who is using that term at the moment.
Ah, yes. Don't mention the fix. Okay. Councillor Pryor, are you happy with solution going in there instead of the technically correct term?
Yeah, I'm happy with solution. I think the community is aware of grade separation, but I think they're even more aware of solution.
Okay, good. So, Councillor Hutchinson, can you make sure the wording, can you just advise staff of where, of your fix?
So, instead of the term.
Don't you just hate committees? Look, they're all good suggestions, but it's with Councillor Hutchinson at the moment. For example, great suggestion. Sorry, Councillor Westwood, what was your... Okay, great. We're building a consensus, people. Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, sorry to be a bit of a humbug. Can we have a breakdown of why we've got these costs? I'm not sure what the councillors believe, but I didn't think we were going to go down the track of...
Okay.
Originally it was like Facebook, billboards, gone to research.
Before the...
Employing staff.
Before the motion is moved... I think that's a very good question. Is it going to be Mr. Cooper, or is it going to be one of the directors who answers that? Or Ms. Jarrett? Why is it costing that much?
So the breakdown of the costs, research of up to $43,000 to engage the university, but some economic research and data, so that a full business case can actually be developed in terms of the solution for the Oaklands Crossing. The briefing of decision makers, that's for the preparation of material in order to take for the Mayor and for the CEO and for various representations to members of Parliament. And in terms of a resource to lead the project for funding up to 1 year, we currently don't have a resource that is going to be able to pull together a program of this nature. The intent of this resolution is to come back to Council in July 2016, then with the potential for further examination of the campaign and as to what may well be next, such as from the original motion in terms of the boards at the crossing itself.
If I can just follow up on that, I'm sure members are interested, but what's the resource to lead the project? Is that a block of something, or is it a person, or is it a computer program, or what?
It's a person in order to actually prepare and develop the material necessary for the briefing to the decision makers.
Oh, so what you're saying, we don't have that expertise in our 385 people?
Through the chair, it's not a matter of not having the expertise within the current resources, but that our current resources are actually fully deployed on other work and other strategies within the delivery of the council's objectives.
Now, there were some other questions, Councillor. Well, hang on, there are a few. Though some haven't asked a question yet, Councillor Gard.
Yes, I was. Oh, yes. Firstly, move a motion to extend time.
You can do that if you must. Until when?
10 minutes.
You can either do that or until the end of a particular item.
Make it to the end of this item. Because it's,
to the end of this item? Yes. Is that seconded? Seconded, Councillor Crossland. All those in favour, raise your hand. Raise your hand again. All those against? It's carried by majority, wafer thin. Now, you had a question, Councillor Gard?
Lack of research, Your Worship. I was wanting to know whether there would be any pre-existing research of fairly recent times, although it wouldn't need to be that recent to be representative of the current situation. I'd be very surprised if government hadn't done its own research, and I'd be very sad if it hadn't, because to make the sort of decisions, nay decisions, based on no research whatsoever, would seem to be a contradiction of good government. But
Councillor Gard, I can help you from my inquiries of staff, and then staff may wish to add something.
Please.
The research item there, as Ms Jarrett said, essentially two parts to it. One being research about commuter behaviour and aspirations, I suppose, but also was intended to capture local resident and local business views of the crossing. To physically go out and ask all of those people is obviously an expensive exercise. I had suggested to staff that as a minimum and possibly maximum, it would involve people knocking on the windows of cars at the intersection and having a very short survey completed to understand where people come from, where people are going, the problems they face, and whether it would affect their vote if the problem's not fixed or if the problem is promised to be fixed. Something like that. So in terms of that sort of research, I'm not aware of anything as specific as that. The second part of it, economic research, I think there are some question marks about how it's done. It's not a straightforward matter, but I know that what I do know is that the only language that the Department of Transport knows is a cost-benefit ratio, and they've already got a figure for it. I did ask the Minister when I saw him a couple of months back, and I wasn't told exactly what that was. They do keep that fairly closely guarded because they obviously do have their top 20, and I think this is in the top 20 in Adelaide, but they don't like to let people know what that league table is because for political reasons from time to time, something will be plucked from obscurity like an Oban extension and done for other reasons. So I know what it should be directed at. Whether the Centre for Economic Studies can do it or not, I don't know, but that cost-benefit ratio is what it's geared at. So did staff want to add to that? Councillor Jarrett?
No, that's particularly what is needed here, and just in different words, the cost of actually not constructing a solution to the Oaklands Crossing in terms of lost time of travel to business and also to the community. So it will be critical for that actually to be demonstrated.
He hasn't had a go on this one yet.
Yeah, I know that the RAA made a similar submission for Darlington and also further down for the South Road project just past Port Road. I was wondering if, first of all, they had anything on this, and secondly, if they were interested in doing that on behalf of their members, because I guess it's more their core business than ours, and it would save us a lot of money if they would investigate it.
Can staff help with that?
I'm not aware if the RAA have already got any data on this, but I think that that is absolutely a valuable potential partner in this as a project, and we should contact them.
Yeah, good idea, Councillor Lescu. Councillor Pryor?
DITSI has data on this from their Bluetooth sensors, but that's an aside from what I want to talk about. Can I move a motion to defer this to next meeting?
Of course you can. Is that seconded? Councillor Crossland, all those in favour, all those against? That's carried by a majority. Closed at 10:32, shall we say? I've got different clocks in the room, but that'll do. Thank you, members, for a productive night, a long night, but a good one. Thank you. Elected members, there is an important matter which Mr. Skull would like to tell us about. So, I think we'll go into the Mayor's Parlour. It's more convivial. On the legal, yes, we did. It was included. Yeah, it was.